What's going on, y'all? This is Chris Lehman, one half of the Brothers Lehman. Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, blackisonline.com. Doing that sports talk that we do. And you are checking out the Hip Hop Digest with King Killer, Kurt G, E-Color.
You know, you can be in the middle of a hurricane, or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm. North is still north. People can yell at you. North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself, by yourself, by yourself, by yourself.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
What up, though? It's E Green, and we here. We got another special day today. All of them are special. We got one in a possible for y'all to play spades.
we ain't gonna talk about the possible.
No, we're not gonna talk about the possible right now. It may happen, but we got at least one guest here. Tell them who you is, brother.
Woo! That's the D to the E M O N D. Deshaun, the mind Deshaun here with the digest. Finally, mama made it.
Mama, I made it.
Yes, indeed.
No doubt. No doubt. Welcome to the digest, sir.
Welcome.
All right. So I guess we're going to put him on the spot, like, right?
We got to.
You know it.
And I hope you're ready, my nigga.
All right. So.
Okay, yes.
Gray to the skull. Demond Deshaun. You know how I do when you get on the Hip Hop Digest, you got to tell us the first three records that you ever bought with your own money, and
not the first three records. Well, you saying it backwards.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm saying
it
backwards.
It's been a minute.
He's
ready though.
I'm ready. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Rewind. Let's start it back over.
First, okay, you got to tell us your personal top three MCs.
All right. I've been waiting to answer this. About 10, 12 years now. And I thought about it.
10, 12 years? Damn. My bad. Sorry to keep you waiting.
I done thought about it because I had to do the homework. It was 1988. I just started getting an allowance because I'm in high school now, so we needed to buy our own food. And I walked to school, and I realized that there was a coconut from across the street. We can leave campus. The first thing that I bought with my $20... Tone Loc.
Okay.
Wow.
Loc After Dark.
Did you say I spent some good money there? Or did you say, damn, I waste my money?
Yeah, I'm happy because check out my next selection. Milli Vanilli.
Ooh. Oh my goodness.
Blame it on the rain, not blame it on the rain.
Oh.
Yes, that album. It's tough. I'm still, hard.
Ooh.
And Just Ice.
Oh, wow.
Just Ice. Okay. Cole getting dumb.
I stole Just Ice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think still counts. You passed the...
It still counts.
It still counts because it came out at the same time.
Right. But that was my real introduction to music. What?
Latoya.
I'm saying.
Man, that was
all over the place.
All right.
The one where he was freestyling with DMX, kick that shit. Do, 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 do. Because hip hop was still, it wasn't mine yet. It was my uncle's. So I didn't even have a radio. I was Lisa Colt Jam before then. I was, Full Force and all them, Prince, Michael Jackson, R&B heavy. So Milli Vanilli was a selection. But Tone Loc had that one cut. But that Loc After Dark, that was one of my favorite albums to this day. And that Just Ice blew my mind. I'm like, I had just gotten a boombox for Christmas that year. So that was it.
All right.
You must have had a hella allowance to buy two and a possible.
The possible happened to walk out and jump in his pocket.
That's right. Because McDonald's is just across the street. So I had to, fan. So, but yeah, that was it.
All right.
And for the record, Coconut was a record store, correct?
Yes, Coconut was a record store. Okay. Yes. Yeah, right. And a little strip mall.
Dope.
And and my top MCs that I frequently visit as like a nest egg of kind of just kind of getting to my lane is Nori. the great Noriega, Capone Noriega.
What? Wow.
And I'll take Nori. I'll take Nori by itself. The Melvin Flint album, ooh, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Oh, you need albums.
All right. And I'm also going with Tupac, because Pac is just forever. Right. Pac is ever forever eternal. And I'm going with Melly Mel, because that one resonated. Wow. Because it felt like such a gap from when I heard Melly Mel all the way up until I started purchasing my own music at Tone Loc. I'm like, oh, so rap, it really wasn't just uncle shit. You know what I'm saying? Now it's on MTV. It's like, oh, we got it too. Then Young MC. So those are my top three.
Oh, man, that's incredible.
You got a hell of a top three.
You went
from old school to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The late 90s.
That's a very eclectic list. Ironically enough, my 12-inch records I posted was Sugar Hill, label Sugar Hill, and Melly Mel, Survival, Part 2 is up there.
It's called Survival.
Yeah. So, okay, that's what's up. So sorry about that. I'm thinking about a lot of different things that we may talk about, so I fucked up the intro. Top three records. Top three MC. Yeah, fuck that up.
It's all good, sir.
All right. So you want to get in then?
Let's do this.
All right.
Yeah, because nobody heard that intro. Nobody heard.
Okay. All right. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is let me preface before I say the topic. My shout to JC. He came down for my birthday. We went out to eat or whatever. And
Games on the phone and shit.
Yeah, yeah. So, as we're in the whip, I'm like, yo, let's check out the J. Cole and give it the 30-second smell test.
Ooh, you actually put on the J. Cole for him?
So no, he put it on for me.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So he did talk to me about it, too, though, but go ahead. Yeah.
So, no, I'm just saying, I'm prefacing the first topic because I did do the smell test.
Okay.
And I thought we was losing our touch a little bit, but we're still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
First topic, J. Cole to the Hip Hop Digest, F U. I got the number one record in the country, and I'm going on a 50-date tour.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is usually on the Digest, yo, when we really start gunning a record and being like, yeah, shit, trash. That shit usually blows big.
And it did.
Number one spot.
It did.
So our reputation is still intact.
Okay.
We're the opposite.
Yeah.
You want us to hate your shit.
Right. Our reputation is still intact. But personally, after giving it the smell test, I was just like, oh my God, what's this? I don't even know what to say, yo. Swerving. Wow.
He told us not to listen to it.
Well, no, but swerving.
He told us not to listen to it.
Actually, the way he described it is the way the record is.
And I'm not listening to it because he said, don't listen to the shit.
Don't do it.
So I'm not going to do it, baby.
You're right about that.
But the common, that part two, or the answer to common, that's a good record, though.
But that's the one I said. That's the one I said.
But
that I gave a full listen to
everything else on there. I'm just like, yo, this nigga.
I don't know what kind of album that is.
Yo, take a nap, nigga. Get a pillow and a blanket and take a nap on that bitch.
Yo, can I say? Let me get a quick mini rant in real quick.
A mini rant.
A mini rant. Because it's gonna be quick. But these streaming numbers got the game fucked up, B.
They do.
What?
Yeah.
Way past
about it. Because when you buy Michael Jackson's album, when you buy Hotel California by the Eagles, these fucking albums that you buy, you listen to the whole album. And then you take a record and you listen to that shit over and over and over. Then you find another record over and over and over. This shit, these fucking internet numbers are from people like me who go on there to the fucking thing, click it, and listen for 30 seconds and then get the fuck out because it's terrible. But they get the numbers so they can brag, I got the number one fucking album. Yes, you have the number one listen to album, but that don't mean it's good.
No, it doesn't.
People were interested in listening to it.
Well,
you know what?
I mean, I chalk that up to whether if it's the RIAA or Billboard or any of these guys. You know, them motherfuckers got to justify their job somehow.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so... You know, giving motherfuckers plaques and and saying he had, you know, a billion streams and this, that, and the third. I mean, that keeps them in the loop. That keeps them justifying their job, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
how are they gonna justify the numbers, the money that comes with that shit, though? At least if you had a gold album or a platinum album, you know that you had a little paper in your pocket.
But even if you get that gold or platinum status, it's because people like me have said, well, let's just see what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you got 10 million fucking whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I gave it a sniff test. It just wasn't walk home killer. It wasn't walk home music for Mark. I thought I picked the perfect time to, like, go ahead and press play on Jay. I was like, no. It wasn't even walk home music. It's something else. I think sometimes an artist will make a hot song and then build around the song. And for some reason, he fits that criteria as an MC for me. Not that the songs aren't good or whatever, but he's like, okay, I don't want to just put out a single, so I'm going to make a whole thing around that the whatever the hot song is, one or two. Because he usually has one or two that I lean toward. But I don't know. But you did describe it very well, E. Because I hadn't heard it yet when I heard you describe it. But
I try my best to be honest about how I felt about it, and I'm glad that it resonates. But Killer, I feel for you because you went through that double album.
yeah. We was in the whip, yo. Nice system, the whole shit. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, wow, yo, this shit is absolutely
all
not
that
good.
Horrible singing. Yeah, horrible singing. Yeah.
Oh shit, I got a J. Cole story too. A quick one from the last show we recorded, right? So we're down here, we're finished. And we're over there listening to some house music and shit after the show, last show that we did. And we're chilling. And then Olive comes down the steps and she says, oh, J. Cole's in the area. And who wants to get in the whip with me? I was like, what the fuck? What do you mean, who wants to get in the whip with him?
Yeah.
He's in downtown Silver Spring. I was like, what?
And it's
downtown Silver Spring?
Wow. And it's a mob scene down there.
Mm. And then I come to go online and see that he had that was a tour in his Honda Accord or whatever that is, his Honda, riding around, and niggas getting the whip and listen to the album.
Right.
Great, CDs marketing, but I mean, unless you are an absolute J. Cole fan, like if somebody, you never heard a J. Cole record before, and they threw this one at you, I can't see how it would be a win for him. Mm. I can't see it.
Mm. Wow. I don't know.
Kurt. You sure you ain't going to listen, Kurt?
Nah. I'm not even curious, my nigga. I'm not even curious. And now after Killer just hit me with the shit, nah.
All
right. Yeah. I'm quite sure I'll hear a song here and there, but I'm not even.
You will hear that one song.
Even interested in listening to that.
Listen to the I Still Love Her or whatever it's called. Something like that. I Still Love Her or
I'm
something
out.
In that vein.
I'm out.
Kurt, I'm telling you.
Well, no, the common record. Yeah, that one record is pretty good. Yeah, I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He put work in on that record, but the rest of that sad singing shit, I'm like, what is this shit, yo?
All right. So anyway, well, I ain't going to talk about J. Cole for a while, but I just thought that was pretty interesting. And we got back to form, trashed the record, and then he blows big. So
we got back into our regular form.
Yeah, we got back to form. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is a headline time. Okay. None of the topics that we're going to talk about individually, but it is headline time. You know,
headline meaning what?
Headline is I go to the Google machine, I type in rap news, then just go to the news feed and see what stories come up.
So you're looking for clickbait.
Okay.
Interesting.
It could be clickbait, but this is what we're going to talk about. Just not any of the individual titles are important or what it is, but this is what comes up when you Google rap news.
Okay.
Okay. All right. 19 face charges in a string of gang-related shootings in Philadelphia.
What?
19? Right, hold up, relax. Let me go do a couple of more. DA declines charges in Atlanta rapper T. Hood shooting. Okay. twice escaped prisoner releases another online drill rap video.
Wow.
Jacksonville rapper KSOO pleads guilty to the to a 2019 murder, given 10 years in prison on top of a life sentence.
So this is counting the amount.
This is just rap headlines. Okay. Newly released video shows a design district shooting involving Atlanta-based rapper Lil Deco. So under rap news, if you go to your Google machine, it may not be the same in every area of the country, but
wow.
I went to the Google machine.
Or it might be.
So what are you trying to say? You trying to tell me that when you type in rap news, new shit that comes up that ain't got shit to do with rap pops up?
No,
about albums coming out.
Nothing about
their skills.
Right.
Nothing about a tour.
None of that.
All about crimes.
And I thought that was pretty interesting. Just
so
given
somebody's controlling the algorithm, is what you say?
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to take it there, I won't argue with that. But I find it interesting in the fact that if you and I didn't, and we should beta test this.
Oh shit!
Country music news or pop music news, and see what comes up.
I hear you.
I'm just saying,
it'd probably be a little bit more positive.
Hold on, I got a phone right here.
Oh, you gotta do it.
Hold on, minute, nigga. Let me do that.
Oh, go ahead. My bad. No. I mean, I ain't gotta say nothing. I just look for myself.
Yo, he's talking about you.
Oh.
You are you. You are me. Let me you. That's you.
So
you know what you doing, bro. You know what you doing.
Yeah. See, let me know if any country music stars are getting arrested, or they out making drill music albums.
So let's take it like this. Have we, and I'm talking about the older generation. I ain't talking about Lil Gecko and them niggas.
Lil Geico and shit. The Lil Lizard got an album out.
He gonna come correct you. That's Gecko. Okay, all right, shorty. Thanks.
My bad. Put your little Uzi away.
Right.
Oh.
That's a bar.
So the concentrated on crime and hood all day, every day. Do we do a bad thing? We done a bad thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, depending on your perspective, if we did a bad thing, though.
Well, I mean, this is what I'm saying. I'm, you know, I know, remember Cat Like Egri, when me and you was even playing Jay's lawyer a little bit.
What have I done?
Well, no, you were always pointing out, as when me and Kerji were on the same legal team being Jay's lawyer, Jay rap about coke too much.
Yes, he did.
Okay. But we were being Jay's lawyer. Nah, nigga.
Jay got bars.
Yeah, exactly.
Spit that shit different than these other niggas spit it. See, when he spit it, that shit sound good.
Oh, it sounded like cocaine rap to me.
So that being said, and I'm just using Jay as a pinata, but just as a whole, you know, the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It could be Jay, could be any number of any motherfuckers from every city,
Biggie.
Every hood USA.
Big.
It don't matter. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about everybody. Okay. Now, we got the Young Bulls, and you got, what is that, 1, 2, 3, you got 6 headlines, either shooting, you know, trials, convictions, murder, you know, everything, everything, you know what I'm saying?
So, what you're saying is that these niggas graduated from our school. We were talking about it.
It seems
in records,
like it.
And these niggas is doing it.
It seems
real.
Like it, because no one has graduated from the Public Enemy School. No one is graduating from the Tribe Called Quest school or shit. Niggas was talking Tone Loke and shit earlier and shit. Nobody graduated from that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, you know what I mean? I want to know why. You want to know why? Why do we got to do this? I'm going to tell you why. Because it's easy to make the kind of shit that's being made right now. Look, Tone Loc, if it was easy to be Tone Loc or Young MC family, if it was easy, it'd been a whole bunch of people doing that shit too. It wasn't easy. We can still sit here to this day and say it was garbage, it was trash, whatever. But they did something that was not easy to duplicate, or it would have been magnified all the fuck over and throw a Seattle dude in there too, Posse on Broadway.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Right. So we can say their name because they did something. They made a mark that we might not have liked, but they made a mark, right? So with this current shit, kill, fuck, drink, do drugs.
Right.
But you don't even have to be saying anything. Rap music is at its fucking lowest state of creativity to date, right? So it's easy. It's easy. It's hard. It's hard to be MC Hammer. It's hard to be Chuck D. It's hard to be Monica.
Damn. Yeah.
For somebody to just be able to sip it or rap about some lean, you don't even have to be saying anything. Literally.
Sounds like you was giving Hammer. He was giving Hammer a hug. You sorry. You're sorry saying sorry to Hammer.
No, I'm not saying sorry. You was giving them?
Yeah.
Because you was like, it's hard to be Hammer.
Well, it might be hard to be, but you have to be. And that's what disappoints me about Mr. Cole sometimes, because he caters to that field when he knows I'm sorry, Nas. This whole career has been an I'm sorry, Nas. Ooh. But when it comes to hip hop, I really give these guys, I always give people 15 feet or 15 minutes for whatever drug you may be partaking of. And I say that because just like y'all, I learned from y'all, separate the wheat, I think you say, from the shaft.
Oh, shit. He's got the whole lingo over there.
I told you, 10 years, I'm waiting. Rap music is their rap sheet. So I give them their space to rap about their shit. They're not hip-hop. And they'll tell you. Nowadays, they will tell you I'm not hip-hop. And I respect and I accept that. So it's interesting that if you look, what would happen if you type in hip-hop?
That's a good question. Like I said, I didn't go heavy in that. I just put rap news.
Right.
One thing that's very interesting. And shout out to Swerve. You're right. It's hard to be Hammer because you know fucking Hammer was doing what he do, dancing and shit. And it's everybody ain't gonna be doing that shit. You know what I mean?
Nope.
But that being said, that shit makes money.
Yes, it has been.
Okay. All right.
But people are getting tired of it slowly but surely, which is why it ain't been too much charting. Such a big deal. Oh, no rap on the charts. Because people generally are getting tired of that same old shit.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's been a long ride with this shit that we're on right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
A long ride.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I just wanted to say, y'all, when I look at headlines like that, I'm thinking about, damn, yo, every fucking hood, every gangster, every ghetto boys, every NWA, every, I don't give a fuck who it is. That's all I said. It wasn't just Jay and Biggie. I don't give a fuck who it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We, as a performance in the street, leaned so heavy, even though there was other flowers in the garden. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely, you know, a lot of different music. Well,
you go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to say this about Jay, and I want to say this about Nas, because the perspective of Jay-Z when he was introduced to me on the West Side, it was in a room full of hustlers and doing things you shouldn't be doing. And they was like, nah, man, you need to listen to Jay. At the time, I was probably leaning toward like Dayton family, like real, real thug shit.
I was going to say, them motherfuckers. Dayton family? Oh, Jesus. motherfuckers?
And I always think like, what the hell was on my mind? But the intricacy of Jay made you think about what you're doing for a cause. Like he put a business sense on hustling. Like for a reason, instead of whatever the Dayton family, they fight, they trying to hold on to 30 spot and shoot niggas, all this shit. It wasn't all that with Jay. He kind of dressed it up to a point where, like they say, like sometimes a drug dealer can be the best to run a Fortune 500 company. He put that in my head, kind of like, okay, I see the business sense. When Nas was talking to Escobar stuff, I can see the likeness to a Godfather. It is a respectable business. You know, it's not just like gang stuff where you have to be colors. It's like if it is organized crime, organized first and then do the crime. It's kind of like what I got from Jay. So I give Jay a pass as far as making that, separating himself from that class of criteria. Even though it was coke rap, but it was on a level that I hadn't heard before and taking certain things into consideration. Like, you do got to think about going to jail for the next 10 years. You know what I'm saying?
And that's where I'm going to come in, because that's what I was going to say first, is that even though it could have been Scarface or whoever that was, Big J, any of these people that were spitting these rhymes like that, they were stories, they were detailed, they were intricate. When you listen to this shit now, it's I'm not scared to get canceled because I'm not on any level of anything anyway, but we give, it's like school now. School now is not the same as school from many years ago. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? You're the wrong folks are running the village, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're gonna get, because the industry is saying, "Hey, act like this absolute ass, and we're gonna get you with Gucci belts and red bottom shoes and whatever else you fucking want. Be as ignorant as you want." But then you get somebody who actually, and we'll just say J. Cole, who doesn't act like that. He or somebody, no, let's not even use J. Cole, we'll say a D1 or something like that. You're not gonna get
same
backing and flow that these other folks that are
let me do one counterintuitive thought here. Ooh. And it is, think, this is what we just did. Okay, y'all got me thinking. This is what we just did. I know I did. I'm admitting it, got on here. Fuck, gave J. Cole the business.
Yep.
Gave him the business. But the fact that he had a number one record and he's not selling a lot of coke or doing any other dumb shit. Now, he may be a lovesick puppy and shit. You know, you might want to get that nigga, you know, a do you like me note and shit. But fuck, he, you know, and then cats who are defending J. Cole will be like, fuck y'all niggas. He ain't none of that shit, and he's number one, and y'all niggas still complaining that he's whack.
Because we know, it is whack. That album is whack.
And also to go along with that whackness, even though I haven't heard the album, so I don't have no, I can't really talk about the album, but the fact that niggas is saying he's whack on our level, a lot of it is disappointment, because we know the nigga is good. We know he has the potential to be be on the Jay-Z Nas level. He has a potential for that.
Yes.
And to be doing this shit that you're doing is like, what are you doing? So it's disappointment when niggas say your shit is trash.
Okay, see, there you go.
Because you put J. Cole in the room with Benny the Butcher, and look what they did with...
Oh, hell you see that? He stood his own with Benny the Butcher. He stood his own.
Well... Well, see.
When you put him in a room, he knows his business. So he's an A student, but sometimes you just got to fraternize with the public. And I know that's what he's doing. Kind of like the NBA today. Every time I watch the NBA, I said, why don't that boy get a haircut? Why don't he get a haircut and be the team leader? But no, they don't want to be the team. Everybody want to be on the same level. And that's what J. Cole can. He on the same level, riding around to the Honda until it broke down in Phoenix. Hey, man, help me out. I'm cool just like you.
Let's not say that J. Cole is whack, because I'm not saying J. Cole is whack.
I'm not saying he's good whack.
Good catch. Good catch.
That album is whack.
Good catch.
Okay. Yes, he has made some very good music.
Okay, so we didn't kind of assail his skill set. I don't think we did that. We just said the art that he put out was certainly whack. Okay. And then gave props to, you know, the common refrain, record, which is a great record. So I just wanted to put that out there. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, how we sound. Old ass
niggas ain't never satisfied.
Yeah, how do we sound? You know, saying that shit. You know.
Well, right. No. We're not going to end it right there because you have educators who have a bunch of different letters behind their names and shit because of what they know or because of what they've learned. Okay. Now, I am not the most well-versed fucking hip-hop dude in the world, but I know what the fuck I know. And I have experience. And I have time put in where I can say, J. Cole, this album is not up to your par. I can say that. And anybody who would argue that, they may argue on feelings. They may argue on what they particularly like to hear. But if we're going to have a debate and discussion on the hip-hop value of that album, then I'm here for it. And I'm not going to give away any of that power to somebody who is strict. Let's just say they don't like any Lils and Youngs either, but they love J. Cole, right? I'm going to give them that because you love J. Cole, right? But if you're going to say that he's the best, then you're going to talk to me about that, then you're going to have to come with a whole lot of goddamn ammunition.
Okay.
Because I haven't been around. And so I don't want to take away from us and what we have lived through and learned and fucking fought for.
Well, that's a but that's a fundamental tenet, because everybody has their guys and everybody has their favorite MC or whatever. But the individual was never... every cat can get thrown off the side of the boat if he was violating, exactly. No matter who you were.
We still throw KRS-One under the bus for his production.
Right. And we
say he can't rap. We say that production is whack.
His production is super whack. And Big Daddy Kane is still licking wounds from the foolishness that he was doing. So that was probably the biggest difference. When you schooling, young guys... Are so beholden to the actual MC that when he makes mistakes, he or she, whatever, makes mistakes or bad music, oh, no, fuck that. Nah, nigga, hip-hop is what we're protecting here, and J. Cole can get the business if he put out a bad record, just like any other legend, you know?
Yep.
Just like Let any other legend.
Let me ask you this, though, Killer. Do you think that because he bowed out of the battle, is... with this album, is he playing politics? Because is this a way to kind of soothsay your way into grabbing some of Kendrick's listeners? Because it sounds almost, production-wise, but just still, do you think he's playing politics with this?
Well, first of all, he's a horrible politician because, because mad cats, and we discussed this last show or the show before, where I was saying that niggas like Fat Joe was right, and I agree with that level of when you bow out of the battle, when you in this hip hop thing, and then you bow, and then wasn't even bowing out of the battle because you can kind of bow out, but then all that apologizing and crying and whining and shit.
Wow.
Yo, that's what
niggas. You just a bitch ass nigga.
So cats was like saying, okay, you want to get off the field, fine. Then we need you to be off the field. You can't be on the sidelines after you quit the game. Let me in, coach. Nah, nigga.
Right.
Stay on the sidelines and shit. And I'm going to repeat what I said at the last show. If you want to be on the sidelines with the Fresh Air Channel, call Andre 3000. And chill with him because he's going to tell you what it is to be on the sidelines. That was hilarious. So,
I mean, people talk about that Fresh Air Channel anyway.
So, nah, if he's trying to play politics, he's doing a terrible job. He certainly has a fan base that turned out for him heavy.
Leave J. Cole alone.
All right, yes, I want to get out of J. Cole. I want to get out of J. Cole. I want to get and Swerve, this is pointed to you, some positive news. Sloshin and Crenshaw named Nipsey Hussle Square.
Mm.
Okay.
I think that's awesome, actually.
Okay, you think that's awesome? Mm. Okay. I think it's awesome. All right. Yes. And so, but it is on the same level of a point counterpoint. He's a gang member. And he...
Yep, but he also was uplifting the community. He was building the community.
Okay,
go point for point.
I don't need to go point for point because that wasn't all, and I was going to say that. He was a gang member, and a gang member was causing issues, obviously, due to the unfortunate way that he passed away. But he was bringing positivity to the community. Didn't live long enough to transition from gang to... obviously just community leader, which he probably would have done, I'm sure of it, but that's
a great Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, I mean, but that's kind of where a lot of times I think we find ourselves in hip-hop though too, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There is things that I think generally people who aren't really in the culture may find negative and be like, he was a gang member and shit, and that's it. I don't want to hear anything else. He's a fucking gang member.
Unfortunate. That's very unfortunate because you are not you. But the person who's saying that is missing out. Because, again, if you want to listen to that dude, there's another dude from California who's always talking gang stuff, and he wears the colors and he does the whole nine. And he's a Rams fan, which is interesting because he wore blue that one day. But anyway, if you listen to the press pack, yes, Neighborhood Nip was a gangster and he was this, that, and the other, and other. But if you listen to his music, you will see where that young man's brain was.
Woo! Ooh, nice,
especially
baby.
At the end. He was not strictly off the LA gang shit. Again, I mean, just... he had a lot of music, but if you want to just see where he had grown to, listen to the last album. Listen to the last album. And again, he was still young, who had plenty of opportunity if he had lived to do even more greatness. But we're not gonna beat up just because he was a gang member.
Malcolm X did a whole lot
of stuff too.
Yeah, of course. That's a great example. So, you know, I just thought it was a good news. I thought in the sea of foolishness, which we talked about earlier, I thought that naming Nipsey Hussle Square, you know, Slauson and Crenshaw. I'm sure you know what's up.
You know what's up. You've been there.
Indeed. Did I drive you down there? Yeah, we went down there. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow, that's legendary.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what's up. All right. Marathon. No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, unfortunately, kind of the bearer of bad news here. As it continues, T.I. 50 / Jim Jones. Now,
hilarious.
I just the simplest question, and I put this on a text chain. Why don't niggas walk away? Is it impossible for, T.I., I guess I gave him credit on the text chain. I was like, look, he did it hip hop. He put it on in a record. He, you know, gave him a nice little lyrical ass whooping. I'm down with that. Shout out to T.I. He did it the right way. Okay, that can't be underscored. He did it the hip-hop way. He did it the right way. You know, 50 was just trolling and shit and just, you know, that type of thing. And Jim, well, Jimmy just embarrassed himself, but I don't know even.
He has his own self to live up to.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Capo. So let's do this. Let's give him separate chapters.
So why? Let me answer the first question.
Okay.
I want to answer that first question because you said, why can't
niggas just walk away? Yes.
For me, it's simple. It's simple because you're talking to a reformed hothead who's, and you two niggas know that. Y'all don't know. I would get at a nigga in a half a second.
Why you gonna call you Rafe?
Would not fucking, would instantly get at a nigga. But I know why niggas don't walk away. I understand that because it's ego, it's pride. And I'm not going to let a nigga talk to me crazy and not get back to them.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's okay. You being a hothead at an event and niggas is, yo, no, nigga, and 50 niggas holding niggas back and all that shit. That's different than them niggas ain't even in the same place. This is all internet shit. But see, now, granted, now, Grant, T.I., I'm
ding,
giving
ding,
him
ding, 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 ding.
I'm giving him
internet shit.
Yeah, internet shit.
But T.I., I'll give him a little pass because I guess it was personal, on you know, on directly at his wifey and his son. So I'll give him a little bit more leeway because that is a direct personal, you know, direct to his family versus a guy like Jimmy, who's just an embarrassment all the way around because he's Jim. You know what I'm saying?
But yo, we interviewed Jimmy.
We did.
Right.
We
Jimmy gave Jimmy. Y'all a shout out on everything, man.
Yeah.
We interviewed Jimmy. So, we didn't milk and cookie, but he has progressively gotten, this is before the fight at the airport and all that shit that we interviewed him. So.
Yeah.
It's progressively gotten worse, but about Jim, so he has built this character, and you gotta fucking live by that shit. Unfortunately, right. That's Jimmy. Right. Okay.
I saw Jimmy in a neighborhood here in Chicago once, and Jimmy is who he is to those people in the industry, but he is who he is to the street. He's a different person in the street, a humble dude. He signed somebody from my neighborhood. He was trying to work on that record deal with them, and he cadenced himself on learning new things and capitalizing off of them. So I see Jimmy in a different light, kind of like when he's on camera. Not that I'm most proud of some of the things I've seen on camera, but
he built that though.
He built that reputation for himself.
Okay. Yep. So we're gonna leave that tack right there in the board.
Sure
now
thing.
We're gonna come back to 50 and T.I. Let me just say, T.I. has been lobbying for a fucking long time to get somebody on
Versus.
He's been lobbying. Yeah. He has been the most vocal person that we've seen trying to lobby to get on Versus, okay?
Okay.
Now, what my little bit of research I've done, there was a gentleman's agreement for them to do it. And then when it came time to get down, 50 kind of pulled a 50. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and, interesting.
And T.I., you know, kind of was talking about it, whatever. And I heard the audio of it, of 50 literally basically saying that shit ain't happening. I don't know, he's talking about basically that type shit.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, we know T.I., Mr. King of the South, you're not going to let your ego take a hit. So then he said some shit back. And then Curtis, not you, Curtis.
Another Curtis.
Yeah, another Curtis decides to throw some mean shit about T.I.'s wife and King's mama. And so that started that spiraling of T.I.'s son, who is always spiraling on something. And then T.I., instead of playing the 50 Cent game, you know, the internet game.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to make a record. Because the first record that T.I. did was old. And they just released it because it kind of fit the situation. But then he actually did go in the booth and write another record dissing 50 Cent fully.
But you got to give him credit for that, though, B.
Oh, I'm not giving him credit. I'm not taking any credit from him.
I don't give him credit.
Oh, yeah, but no credit for that?
No, because you know what, E? He aren't you a comedian now? Can't you take a joke?
Oh, but he can't still be an rapper, MC, king?
No, because no. Save it. You didn't show your hand already. Now what?
Oh, look, I'm not saying in that game of back and forth, I'm not saying that he didn't play that well. I think that to me, 50 was setting him up, you know, and leaving his chin wide open while he would fall for that. But I'm giving him credit that he made the record. He kept it hip hop. Everybody's talking about, yo, fuck all that.
I like that.
Fuck that.
I like that.
Fuck that trolling shit. Then just keep it, you know. That's how motherfuckers like Drake and them niggas got out of pocket. Because they can't.
I like that. I do like that.
The thing is that to me is that niggas ain't figured 50 out yet. It's like, to me, 50 is so simple.
Yes.
He is so simple. And so easy to figure out. I'm like, y'all don't see what this nigga is doing? He do the exact same thing every... He been doing it since Ja Rule. The same exact thing over and over and over again. And he keeps mm-hmm. doing it, and niggas keep falling for it. He keeps putting it out there, like you said, to, put, to make you put your chin out there. So what he yeah. said, I know what button to push to make this nigga jump out the window. So let me throw exactly. let me throw a meme of his wife out there, because this nigga's immediately going to jump out the window as soon as I say something about his wife. Boom.
That's
the
right.
nigga jumped out the window immediately as soon as he said something yes. about his wife.
And exactly. and most would. Now,
but,
imagine.
But see, most would, but if you knew it was who you're dealing with, you would you shouldn't do it. You'd be like, this is 50.
No, you wouldn't.
Wrong, I know this. Wrong, I know who this nigga is. I know who this nigga
old.
Is.
You're old.
You're old.
I'm with
Kurt.
And you're old because you're not giving the full respect to the fucking internet.
The internet getting too much respect. You're old. No, you our age, nigga. T.I. is closer to our age than these internet niggas' age.
No, he's not. No, T.I. don't give a fuck about us.
I say he's closer to our age than them
about
niggas.
Us. No, we don't give a fuck about internet ego, B. We don't give a fuck about internet ego. We care about if you're going to put some fucking art out, make it good. That's what we care about.
Right.
Okay.
This shit ain't for us. This shit ain't for us. Would I have watched if it was a fucking 50 Cent T.I. Fucking thing? Yeah, I'd have watched that Versus. Yes, I would have watched it. But I don't give a fuck what they talking about back and forth and posting memes and all that kind of shit. But, in this what? World where likes, clicks, and views get you money, nigga, they care. I don't care who it is, except for Jay-Z. He won't fucking respond to nothing.
That's
but,
right.
But people, every day, you ain't got to be a fucking celebrity, yo. Go on Facebook every day and somebody's fucking beefing because somebody didn't like their picture or talk shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy, B. That is the world that we don't live in, but I know it's there. I see it. I don't live in it. I see it. I observe it. But there are people that live. Mm. There are people that make thousands of dollars.
I hear what you just said, B. I hear that whole diatribe you just gave off. I hear you. And I'm feeling you. I'm down with you 1,000 on that, too. Niggas do that shit all the time. But I'm talking about T.I. and 50, just them two. I'm saying, why can't niggas see 50 for what he is? You know what he is. You know his tactics. You know what he likes to do.
Money.
And don't forget, T.I. then already jumped out the boat with Floyd. He ran up on a prize fighter over his wife.
Yep.
Hands up.
In
real life.
In real life.
But that gave 50 right there knows that if I do this, he's going to jump out the window. Kurt. All I got to do is say something about his wife, and nigga going to jump right out the window.
But as King Killer said, though.
What?
Fuck all the memes and shit. Write a record, nigga.
Because 50 playing with the nigga. That's why he ain't making no records. He just playing with the
like
nigga.
When you put it like that.
But T.I. said...
You right.
Fuck that. T.I. Supposedly, I didn't see it, but supposedly got on his son. It was like, no, don't be talking about 50's dead mama, this, that, and the other. Stay out their way. Mm. I got this expeditiously.
Let's go, Pop. Let's go, Pop. I like that.
All right, so...
You know what I'm saying?
So
I like that.
So I'm gonna, So I'm gonna try to clean this up a little bit. shout to you, you know, or Swerve or whoever said, like, Ho, he don't respond to nothing. That's how you stay above the fray. You know, you just don't even you stay above the fray, you just don't respond to that shit. So number one, that to me is the best practical advice.
But he don't gotta worry about fucking clicks.
B, it don't matter, B. These other niggas, if you stay above the fray, then you, to me, you're going to be better off.
Ain't many people doing that, B.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. And quickly.
So if 50 stay above the fray, because he has he has the choice to just be quiet. Drop me.
But that's not him.
That's not him. 50.
That's not who he is.
It may take him 3 years from now, but he's going to do something about this fucking T.I. shit. It might not be a record. But T.I.'s dog dies, he gonna be there with a fucking blunt talking about I'm off that T.I. dog pack.
Look, let's just do a quick piece of history here. And it wasn't until Ross shut the fuck up that he got out of that shit.
Okay? Somebody he didn't fuck that Joe up either, did he?
Again, he didn't. Because you know why? whether them niggas, they just said, you know what, I can't win that. I'm out.
But see, the Joe and 50 thing got to the deadly series. That shit could have ended with somebody getting killed. So that was the reason why, if you believe what Joe said, what Fat Joe saying, somebody was going to die the way that shit was going. So niggas needed to get everybody out the way. Like, you know what? Fuck this. Just stay out of
this. I want to believe y'all. I love
you want to, but it's hard. You can't believe that, dude.
The Don Cartagena.
Yeah. Once upon a time.
He said once upon a time. Is he all about the money now?
Oh, about it. Nigga wore them boots, B. I don't want to hear nothing.
I'm gonna get off Fat Joe. I have a different opinion, okay. I don't wanna go down that Fat Joe run. I wanna get back to quickly to tie this up. I'm gonna get back quickly to Jimmy and the perils of creating something that you can't live up to. That's the perils of that. And to me, there's just so many lessons in that. And I guess really one of the original lessons is Cool C and Steady B. You know, they were so pressed. They were so pressed to be rap stars and not viewed as fucking regular niggas that they fucking tried to rob a bank. And that was due to it was crazy. Somebody sent me a clip. In an interview, the several years old of Cut Creator, talking about, you know, all the tours he did with LL and all the his career. But Cut Creator said, you know, when I didn't go out with L and L went a different direction in his career, I got a job because I had kids.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, certain guys can never admit that. You know what I'm saying? The late great Ecstasy, the late great Ecstasy from Houdini was another one who, you know, after Houdini, you know, was there and then the shit stopped happening, he got a job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Regular, can you imagine? We were on this show.
One man from Brand Nubians.
Lord Jamal.
Sadat X
works in a hospital and said, I'm down here, I'm working in a hospital, they got good benefits, you know, I got kids, you know, this shit is important. All that being said, can you imagine, Jimmy done built up this, and us on this show even speculating, Jimmy probably sitting on five, maybe 10 million, Jim got money, Jim, niggas in the text tank, nah, Jim got money. Man, nigga, this nigga is posting a fucking lease, and this nigga's $180,000 behind in the lease payments.
You trying to kick doors down.
Right, come on,
kick
bro.
Door, literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
So
that's embarrassment, man.
But that's not on 50. That's on Jimmy for creating a false, I'm super paid, you know what I'm saying? I got more viral hits than Nas, and just saying any fucking thing to be in front of the camera and...
Yeah, that, he played himself with that nonsense.
Right. And that's where 50 can really exploit niggas, because unfortunately, that's what the fuck he does, man. He ain't making records. He ain't doing none of that shit. His pastime, and I'm not saying he's right or am I caping for him. You know what I'm saying? Because I think what 50 doing is bullshit, to be honest with you. The fuck got time for doing that shit? But he do.
But you know, he compelled me so much that I follow him on Instagram, like, at end of 2025. Wow. I'm like, I gotta follow 50. I'm missing out on the latest news. I'm missing out on the latest taunting. I'm gonna follow 50, man. I try not to.
That's another follower. That's more views.
That's the point you're making. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I look at 50 like, can you just make another fucking Power episode series? That's all the fuck I care about.
Yes.
I don't care who he beefing with online. I don't care about none of this Diddy stuff he's doing. I don't care that the fact that people are saying, well, he ain't putting no white people on there. I don't care about none of that, because he's building his own goddamn shit he's going to have to deal with at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
While you doing all this pointing, eventually them fingers are gonna come back to you.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah.
And
no,
if he doesn't know that, then too bad for him. You know, you got the Diddy thing out there. It was the most viewed shit on Netflix or whatever. Then you hinting about more shit. Oh, then you got something on T.I. I mean, not T.I. That'll Jay-Z. Come later. You got something on Jay-Z. You got some more shit on Diddy. You got something on Snoop Dogg. Like, can you just, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is this is us talking, not the internet. Not the internet. I don't give a fuck about that. But it's like, so... Demond, you watch the Power episode series, right?
Yes.
I am so ingrained in that shit where I will watch the whole fucking intro just to hear the record when it comes on.
Yeah.
Them shits fly. Them shits are fly, yo. So I'm looking at 50, like, yes, it's maybe, oh, we'll just say four different series or whatever.
Four different.
And all of them shits got fly-ass intros. And then you got, you know, the soundtrack of the show. It's like, damn, you still definitely got that music shit. But but in his mind, he's Mr. Troll. And so to me, it don't make sense. But to him, it makes dollars. Mm. So he don't give a fuck what I'm thinking. He don't give a fuck what King Killer talking about.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying, just overall.
Why can't niggas walk away?
Why can't niggas walk away? Exactly. Thank you.
I was gonna answer this 10 fucking minutes ago, and I said it already, because see, you will not understand, but I'm gonna try to tell you again. These motherfuckers on these internet, these people with these million plus followers, it's everything to them to be online. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, as long as their fucking face, image, voice, thoughts are the fuck online, they're getting checks that we don't even fucking understand.
Wow.
Every click, every view, every like, every comment, they're getting bread, B. So it could they could really not give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But with T.I. might not give a fuck in reality what the fuck 50 Cent is saying. But you're saying, you know 50 Cent. You know 50 Cent. And you know beefing with 50 Cent is going to bring more motherfucking eyes to you.
Yeah.
Clicks, you know what? Likes, views.
So I'm not disagreeing with you. I only really have one small caveat. Are these people getting money? Yes. I don't think they get. I think, to be honest with you, in retrospect, as time goes on, I don't think these motherfuckers are getting as much money as you think they are, but they are getting money. I agree with that, but I don't think it's as much as you think. That's why That's why these motherfuckers keep going back to that trough. Because if they was getting money, like they getting money, you know what I'm saying? They wouldn't be fucking with that shit all the time.
Exactly. You are failing to give the
obviously
it's proper.
I am, you're failing, no doubt. D. I am.
If King Killer says something super controversial, and the particular ear heard it and put us out there on the internet, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to ride that wave, B.
And I get
you
that.
Don't have to say nothing. I will defend you. I will carry you, cover you.
I wouldn't.
But we will be riding that wave, my nigga.
I wouldn't know anything about it because I don't have any social media.
You will when the checks
come. Don't even worry about it.
You don't got to worry about it. You don't got to worry about it.
You'll be like, yo, B, what's this check for?
I got it from here. You'll
be like, next thing you know, Killer back here trolling niggas. Hold on, wait a minute. That last check was good as a motherfucker.
No, he's going to say broads. He's going to say broads again.
Right? Oh, you,
we gonna get caught out
here
about saying broad, and I'm gonna run with that shit. I'm gonna run with it. I put a fucking Philly street sign, Broad Street, whatever the fuck on our shit, B. Because that's the way those people think. And if it gets us $27, I'm gonna rock with that. Because I know we're not gonna take it for so far, and I don't give a fuck what nobody says about me. Just don't touch me.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna get out of that, B.
No. I want you. B. I know I'm making up this crazy shit, but I want you to understand, because you really are acting like you don't understand how fucking entrenched these folks are with this internet shit, B. All news is good news in a fucking click like view for your pocket, B. And no, they may not be getting money like 100,000 a day or no crazy shit like that, but every fucking click, every fucking like, every fucking view adds up. And then let's just say, okay, so T.I. did his thing. Okay, he did his thing. He first he ranted, then he was on shows talking about it, then he made these, well, the old record and the new record. Okay. All right. Were we talking about T.I. 2 weeks ago?
Nope.
No, we weren't. Nope.
No. 3, 5, 6 months ago?
Nope.
But T.I.'s in the news. And then just let 50 Cent respond. Just let him respond. And that's a whole new fucking cash stream, my B. So I want you to get that. It ain't got nothing to fuck to do with quality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have anything to do with being great. It's just
right.
Clicks, likes, views, my nigga. I've been saying this for
so
for right. almost 20 years.
T.I. I heard from Meth the Flex calling out T.I. I guess T.I. done slipped up and said something about New York in that rhyme. And who, wow. Now Flex talking about Flex you ain't the king of the South.
Flex would ride.
Right. Flex like you ain't the king of the South. Ask Jeezy if he the king of the South. So now it has to Eve's point. It's taking on its own life form at this point, just from bars from the song. So, hey.
It'll be. So now, if you want to, from where you're coming from, now let me go ahead and take it in a whole different direction. From where you're coming from, and the way you just explained this, Mr. Green, you're saying that T.I. is just using this as something to benefit from. That's because from now that you got that, me thinking in that way, T.I. didn't really give a fuck that he was talking about his wife. He really could care less. That's why he took his son off the ledge. He was like, sit down. I got this. Because I already know what this is. I'm going to make money off this deal. I don't care that this nigga talking about my wife. I really don't like her that much either.
Oh, but, damn, Curtis.
But I'm just, now
I got to answer shit on Inlinity.
But I'm just saying, he could be really
that's
thinking
going
that.
Viral.
Right, exactly. He could be thinking like that. He could really be thinking like that. Like, fucking son, step down. I got this. Because I'm just going to go back and forth with 50 until this nigga either responds or he makes another meme because I'm going to make money off. This is checks. I got a new comedy special getting ready to come out. I'm going to put eyes on that shit.
Ooh.
I'm going to put eyes on my new song. I got album getting ready to drop. I'm putting eyes on all this shit.
You get it, Killer?
I get it.
About that money, brother.
Okay.
I'm the king.
I hear you.
Oh, damn, nigga.
2020.
That's why you back over there wilding out.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
You got that 2020 over there. Because you really went in on it.
We went in this week.
Ooh, man, yeah, I got to say, B, you too old for that shit.
That 2020 is a motherfucker.
Right.
I ain't driving straight
back to the senior year, man.
All I got to say is Orange Jubilee.
Orange Jubilee is a motherfucker.
All right. So,
anyway,
I get it. I got the lecture. I got the lecture. I'm still out the whip. Because I have no social media training, no social media etiquette. I don't own none of them shits. So
You done been told.
Okay.
That's what it's about.
All right. That's what's
and yo, matter of fact, there are people wishing that 50 Cent would say something about them so they can get clicks, likes, and views.
Ah, indeed. Indeed.
Wow.
All right. Wow. So, wow. No doubt. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. All right, next time we're going to Hip Hop Digest, we're going to get to the rest in peace portion of the show. And I want to say rest in peace to Willie Colon, born South Bronx, New York. At the age of 15, Mr. Colon was signed to Fania Records. At 17, he recorded his first record, which sold more than 300,000 copies as a teenager. The salsa music pioneer.
I was getting ready to say, like, Willie Colon, Panama?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's actually from the Bronx.
Okay.
But he recorded for Fania Records, which
I had no idea.
Which is a whole nother thing. But anyway, as his career began as a trombonist. He sang, wrote, and produced, and acted a little, and is the best-selling artist in the genre of salsa, period. And then
I got so many Willie Colon records.
Yeah, see, well, that's a whole nother thing. I'm going to get to that in a second. Obviously, he's in the key beginnings of that whole Find Your Records movement in New York City. He's also noteworthy. Okay, if you don't know anything about Willie Colon, go to Discogs, go whatever. He is also noteworthy for having gangster images in his album covers before it was considered trendy or popular. Willie Colon's like first 8 to 10 records, he's on there posing with guns and shit, or like he has some gangster pose and shit. It is so
mugshots,
fly, yeah, mugshots, the whole thing, yeah. Willie Colon, kid, recognize, you know what I'm saying? And let me say something about Willie Colon. So, speaking of Dominicans, I used to listen to so much of that because the Dominican cats had a record store on a corner of King and Pine. Ooh, right?
I know that spot.
Yeah, and then Marty's Barbershop used to be in the basement. And all they used to be playing is all that Find Your Records, that Willie Colon, that Celia Cruz, know, Hector LaVoy.
Cuba.
Yeah, so they playing all of that shit. But I'm just saying, as a kid, now I'm broke. I'm staring at the window thing because I actually bought Renegades of Funk out of there after months of staring at the record, but I didn't have no dough.
He was a window shopper, yeah, bigger than 50.
So I ain't had no dough. But those cats, now, and again, no disrespect to those cats because those Dominican cats, they came to York.
That's the plug, buddy.
Yeah, they came to York. So they had three locations, right? They had three locations. They had the King and Pine. Then they had a location on Beaver Street, up the street, up a couple doors down from the old Maple Donuts. And then, sorry, Damon Deshaun, this is kind of local, small town politics.
I love it.
And then they had one up on Queen Street. I never went to the Queen Street location, but I did buy It's Yours out of the Beaver Street location. Damn. And whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then, make a long story short or whatever, that was my introduction to salsa. I didn't know, but I remember seeing those record labels in there, and Fania, and that is something that I wish I'd have bought them shits, because I never really got around to buying that shit, even though I love the music. But subsequently, they all got popped. Because those record stores were fronts for selling heroin.
I said the plug, my nigga. The nigga's was the plug.
And they all got shut down, but I love hanging out in those stores and whatnot. So, yeah. So, anyway, yeah. So shout to Find Your Records, you know, Johnny Pacheco, who started the label in New York. That is New York. That's New Eurekan soul. That's the whole shit born out of Find Your.
Wow.
That's Find Your Records. And so many people signed to the label. Louis Vega's uncle was signed to Find Your Records. You know, the whole shit, B. So, again, that's another connection to hip-hop that niggas, you know what I'm saying, maybe they want to deny the real deal. Maybe they want to deny it. Mm-hmm. But do yourself a favor. You get educated. You know, like I'm going to do and get educated. And even though late, it's going to cost me money, but I'm going in. That's my next, like, Find Your Records. That's what I'm start buying.
Wow.
No doubt.
Well fucking presented, my man. I had no idea. I grew up in the Spanish neighborhood in Logan Square, Chicago. I still live in the Spanish neighborhood on 18th Street here in Chicago. So that music is like a part of my childhood, like the whole Willie Colon. Like, I had no idea you from shit U.S. Needed to say New York. What?
South Holy Bronx. Shit.
Never thought about doing the homework of the actual backstory. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's heavy.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And like I said, I can't even front. I'm not like super educated. That's why I gave it my personal story about hearing that music. You know, and being at them record stores, so I just hang out there and shit, you know what I mean? And just loving the music, but not really having the wherewithal and the time and or money to buy it. So, no doubt. Next, rest in peace, is Jesse Jackson.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Jesse Jackson, Greenville, South Carolina, stand up. All right. So, you know, Jesse Jackson, there's somebody, you know, we was having a conversation. They was like, yo, you can say a lot of things about Jesse. But I was like, that wouldn't be fair. Because he is, he's a man and has done and been through and contributed a whole lot of things to our lives, you know. And I think that we, you know, owe him a debt, you know, a debt of gratitude, you know, despite any shortcomings, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nobody's beyond reproach, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that's okay. The key thing. Stop saying, putting people where Jesus is.
Okay.
That's it. Other than him, there's nobody beyond reproach. And we, you know. But that being said, okay. But let me get to Jesse Jackson. So, first of all, I'm going to give a shout out to Jaquan. He has a video. Somebody posted it on the text chain. It goes into a deep dive with Jesse Jackson and what he meant to early hip hop. Okay. Obviously, most of us know that it was Jesse Jackson on the Public Enemy, A Rebel Without a Pause, 1987 intro.
I don't know what this world is coming to.
It's coming to.
Yeah. Obviously, and we all know from the Watch Stacks documentary, obviously, that's Jesse Jackson, one of the greatest hip-hop intros ever, okay? What you may not know is the role that he played big time in Stetsasonic's Africa in 1990, okay? I happen to have that record. It's sticking out right there, Kurt G.
Yeah, what he said, reach that right shit.
No, right.
No, nah, that is the top turnaround.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yeah, pull that record out.
He got to pull it out just for us.
Yeah, pull that record out. Yeah, pull that record out.
You got to show that one.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. And then so you see Jesse Jackson right there on the bottom of the cover there. Yeah, exactly.
Yo.
So, yes, and he has a speech through that record, a partial speech through that record, and that came Stetsasonic from 1990, all right? And then a lesser-known record, which Jesse wasn't on, was Grandmaster Melly Mel, a record called Jesse that came out in 1984. Not a popular record at all. So I was actually checking because I have a boatload of Sugar Hill joints anyway. I was like, man, you know what? If this shit is sticking in here, I'm going to be shocked. But it wasn't. So but he didn't always get along with hip hop. You know, he didn't always get along with hip hop. Curtis Blow has a great story when Jesse ran up on him and was like, you know, y'all starting to be the heroes of Black America, but you got to tighten up. You got to tighten up. Yeah, he told Curtis Blow straight up, got to tighten up and whatnot. So Curtis Blow has that whole situation right there. But there's a lot of people, you know, think about this. This is Jesse. This is just for the purpose of this show, and this in no way encapsulates this gentleman's career because it's just too big for us to cover. 1965, participated in the Selma, you know, to Montgomery March. He was there. He participated in that, B. You know what I'm saying? Operation Push, the Rainbow Coalition. I think there's an Ice Cube line in there about Operation Push or some shit like that. I don't know. On November 3rd, 1983, Jackson announced his campaign for president of the United States.
Remember that.
Becoming the second African-American behind Shirley Chisholm to mount a nationwide campaign for president. B, come on, son. And then, of course, obviously, October 11th, 1987, his second time running for president on the 88 campaign. You know, and Jackson is widely regarded as one of the most influential African-American activists of his era, which is true. But obviously, you know, people may want to give the full, and I'm not going to delve into anything negative about Jesse Jackson. And this isn't really negative because this is a historical fact. Jesse Jackson had the unfortunate experience of being one of the people on the balcony. Okay? When Dr. King was murdered, but he wasn't the only one on the balcony. All right? Ralph Abernathy was on the balcony. All right? Reverend Samuel Billy Kyles was on the balcony. Andrew Young was on the balcony. Jesse Jackson was on the balcony. Mary
Jesse Jackson was down below the balcony.
Well, no, it's true. Yeah, okay, yeah. He spoke when he was in the courtyard. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's true. Yeah, I'm reading that wrong. He was in the courtyard. A woman, Mary Louise Hunt, an 18-year-old student, was on the balcony. And who else? And then his driver was also in the courtyard with Jesse. So they were all there. You had the unfortunate, you know, to be there, you know. And then that's where, if you are conspiracy-minded, it's Katz is taking that shit, you know, all the way to Jesse Jackson was the one who pushed the phony button on the moon landing. So it depends, you know. Uh-huh. If you're conspiracy-minded, yeah, it's
oh,
yeah,
let me get in real quick.
You say you weren't going to be negative now.
No. Let me get in before Killer try to take it down there. You're not going to do that.
Nah.
We're going to be more... I'm going to stay more on a realistic train. I have said many times that we know that Martin Luther King was not a perfect man. I don't know a perfect man. But the fact that these men in that time that they lived in, whether you want to call it conspiracy or not, whatever it was, they risked their lives every single day.
Yes, sir.
For people that they will never know. Okay, that's going to always be the first thing that I think of. Then I'm going to think of the stuff, the human side. Yeah, they had a little debauchery popping off, this and that and the other. But I will, after that, think about the time when I was at the station, Killer, you remember?
Yeah, of course.
And he came by to do an interview. And I'm 5'9", and I've been 5'9" for a long time. But when I stood in front of Jesse Jackson and shook his hand, I felt like I was 2'4". It was something that I can't even express to you how, besides to say, I felt like I was 2'4", reaching up, shaking this man's hand.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The great Jesse Jackson.
All right. Mm-hmm. The great Jesse Jackson. And then shortly after that, we find out about the extracurricular stuff.
Yeah, of course. Find out about
that stuff. And do I throw him away? No, I still don't throw him away. Because I'm like, this man risked his life every day in the segregated South of the United States.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to have some kind of space for that, because was he doing debauchery and wasn't risking his life for people that he will never know? Nope. He was doing a little debauchery and risking his life on a much greater level than getting some little cheeks on the side or whatever. Okay, and I'm not saying it's okay to get cheeks on the side, but I'm saying, but goddamn, he risked his life every day.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
There's yeah, levels yeah. to that shit. So for him and his wife to deal with the debauchery, that's on them. But these men, and we could talk about Abernathy and his book, Snitch. Was it Abernathy that wrote the book Snitching?
That was him. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all this kind of stuff, you know, so for whatever reason he did that book, whatever, but that still doesn't take away in some of, not the worst time in the United States, but some horrible times in the United States, these men did what no men now, including myself, are even close to doing. Okay, so we're not going to disparage Martin Luther King and say, oh, he was a spy, he was this, and we're not going to disparage.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, of course not. But I know, but I guess I only mentioned that because I know some people were delving into that, but obviously we're not going
to
do that.
Yeah, it's there, but that's for a certain kind of person that wants to look at that side of it.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. That's real. That's real.
Because there are men that are cheating on their wives and have kids all over the city that don't give a fuck about you and your life.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm going to give those folks that deference because, remember I said it's hard to be MC Hammer, it's hard to be Young MC and all that? It's hard to be Jesse Jackson. It's hard to be Martin Luther King. It's hard to be any black leader. Mega Evers, wonder how hard that was to be. What's the kid from Chicago that the FBI ran up in? Fred Hampton.
Fred Hampton. Yeah.
It's hard to be people like that.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, they're still people and they still do shit and have real life situations. But on top of them real life fucking situations, they have put their lives, and in some cases gave their life, for people that they will never fucking know. So I don't want to hear no shit. I'm going to go a step further than King Killer. I don't want to hear no shit disparaging about Jesse Jackson.
That's real. And to your point,
you're too late.
And to your point, you know, and again, rest in peace, Reverend Jackson. I actually had a similar experience when I was in the military when I worked at the neurology clinic, and Thurgood Marshall came through. Yo, nigga, I was breathless. I'm like, this is Thurgood Marshall. I'm breathless. You know, and he came up to the desk. And I was like, yes, sir, Mr. Marshall, can you come right in? You know, when you see giants like that, you know what I'm saying?
There's you forget about who the fuck you are.
Man, what? That's right. What? That's so right. I can imagine you meeting Jesse Jackson and being like that. You know what I mean? Because I think it would have been like that.
Tall, but I felt 2'4", my G. Not even exaggerating. I'm looking up like, my God.
Yeah.
This is Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
And being from Chicago, I just wanted to say I did go to school with like one of his nephews that actually is a reverend now. And I mean, Jesse is Jesse, but he also had several brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to kind of like lean back toward the Nipsey thing, the people in the streets kind of do lend the fire to a certain type of flame that a chosen person is, that knows how to kind of cuff that part of the thing and still keep it on. Ooh. You know, because I am somebody, you know what I'm saying? So I see it, I accept it, and I respect it, because I wrote a paper about Jesse. I thought I was a hot shot writer in college talking about Jesse, who turned the lights off in the kitchen or something. You know what I'm saying? Talking about Jesse. But I would not, to Eve's point, it's too late to even disparage it, because I see kids on TikTok with their new Google reports. Oh, he said this, like, you late to the party. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, but anyway, but that's what's up. Rest in peace to those gentlemen who certainly have, like Irv said, have done things for us and they don't even know us. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Mr. Cologne, who is just a spectacular person, in his art will certainly continue to educate and live as long as we gonna pump it. So no doubt.
You got one more, King?
Well, I was saving that. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. So we don't get to everybody in time. I'm saving that one. I know what you're saying. Okay. I'm saving that. So no doubt.
Okay.
So
for sure.
All right. Kurt G, is it time for
We're gonna give Kurt a little time. We're gonna give Kurt a little time, because he done had his brother on here this whole time. We ain't said gray skull but maybe once or twice.
I said gray to the skull.
Maybe once or twice. We gotta talk about Mine got going on. We gotta talk about what gray skull got going on. Come on, man, holla.
Oh yeah, yes. Gray Skull, GRYSKLL.com. And right now we do have a limited edition of hoodies that's revamped. But outside that, we are definitely based around hip hop, and which, like King said, that's for a later thing. But in relation to that person is like what Gray Skull has become with this 2026 rollout. We're now working with the Beggars, which is a subgroup from a Wu-Tang, RZA, and Sam Mo Hung has his own radio show. And so I am on a song with Sam Mo Hung, just by relation. And far be it from me to know that I would be linked to a tree of any sort. Nonetheless, Wu-Tang, you know what I'm saying? So, and yeah, that's about it. So we do have that going on. I forget the name of the song. It is called, it's out there. Just look for Gray Skull. Yeah. And I'm always dropping songs, The Mind to Shine. And now that we are in the midst of like dropping a lot of music, I just dropped one with T-Bear doing Cuts and Scratches, World Finest.
Heard that.
That's pretty cool. Nice. That's it. Already 100 plays on Spotify. I know it's pennies. Hey, but that's a lot. It just came out Saturday.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
I just did a song with a brother, Rocky 3, produced by this guy in Italy, Canapaz. And Canapaz, he just kind of discovered like soul music. So I've been, so he's sampling a lot of stuff. He gave me Roberta with Roberta Flack, which is about my mom. I wrote that song. But that song opened up like the fans or people that listen to my music to kind of reach out to me. And so I from based from this song, I've ended up working with another guy, and we dropped 2026 in this year. We dropped what else? Ah, shit, I forget. But Rocky, I want people to concentrate on Rocky 3 because it's, I got the song, I made it about Rocky 3, and I sent it to this brother in Philadelphia named Big Lean. And he sold Philadelphia. He got the bid, and it was called Rocky 3. I was sitting on this cut for about 3 or 4 months. I'm like, man, I'm going to ask Big Lean to get on there. And that brother, he calls himself Mr. Had Life Without Parole.
No, wow.
And
shit.
And he had life without parole under false pretenses. And this brother did years thinking he was going to spend his life in jail. And he's out now, and he's the advocate for childhood trauma. He did a podcast that just got nominated. And sincerely, through the power of hip-hop, like, that's keeping it hip-hop, because he can totally go with the being rapping about the rap sheet. You know what I'm saying? About the rap stuff. But he kind of lends himself. And I'm glad that I did that song with him, because it opened up a whole lane for that brother. If anything, from me being on this show, listen to Rocky 3 and listen to Lance. His real name is Lance. But listen to Big Lean verse. Forget me. Listen to his verse. And Mr. Had Life Without Parole, Rocky 3, The Mind to Shine, grayscore.com. We are a collaborative group of old heads that's still trying to keep the code and conduct of the Hip Hop Digest. You know what I'm saying? Because that's kind of where we formulated from. So it's not much, but check us out.
All right, that's what's up.
All right, sir. How was, sir? I got a text message earlier, and I had to from one of the brothers from the crew, and they wanted to make sure I let you know how the crew feels about you. To make sure I tell you that live on the show. Please don't shed no tears. It says, we appreciate him infinitely for his consistent dedication to the crew. We would not be a family without his singing example of what the concept truly means. His evolution as a teammate is an inspiration to us all. Please tell him that. And sir, you are the backbone of Grayskull, sir.
Woo-hoo.
And you are appreciated.
Yeah.
Now you know. Much love, fellas. Hey, man. Hey, man, don't make me shed these tears, because it's been a rough couple of weeks. I kind of stayed away from the Zoom call from Grayskull. You know, Kurt, I ain't been typing in because I was going through what I was telling you about E. You know what I'm saying? So, and I don't want to put that on the brothers to have any, you know, are you going to be okay? Like, no, it's a Chicago thing. I deal with it, but that's what Grayskull is more so about, the mental health of actually living in a community of brotherhood and being able to express it. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I would
got that good energy now.
Yes, sir. I'll wear it with pride.
Mm. Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. Keep that good energy.
All right. No doubt. Sure.
All right, now, Killer, go ahead and put them keys back in the bus.
Oh, no, I wasn't. All right, so it's the end of the show, and it's time for the albums of the week, the Digital Freaks.
Yes, sir.
All right, what's up?
All right, this week brought to you by Matt, the Shoddy Event Center, that Shoddy Event Center, then brought to you by Pete. It's Crime Apple, In Evidence, Car Wash. I mean, what damn said Car Wash? I fucked that all up. I really fucked that up.
Don't expect anything other.
All right. Crime Apple and Evidence is War Cash, is the name of the album. Oh, War Cash. Man. Crime Apple and Evidence.
Ain't no doubt. So, Devon Deshaun, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
For being on the Digest proper. And like I said, don't forget Devon Deshaun. grayskull.com, Rocky 3. So if you want to know what time it is with that, head over there.
And I also want to say thank you to the brothers for having me as an honorary member of the Gray Skull crew. I come through every now and then. They get an exercise, get to drop some beats off every now and then. And I appreciate y'all for giving me that outlet.
Hey, appreciate you, Kirk. Man, because, man, between me and Kirk, we got about 3 or 4 of them under, but we ain't going to tell nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's on the way. And boy, it's flavor.
Okay.
Right. Matter of fact, I dumped a J. Cole on the walk home and listened to that shit. You know what I'm saying? Get that nigga. Soft ass.
Damn.
I'd like to give a shout out to Big Rush, who helped us greatly tonight, even though he's not here right now.
Yeah, he's not running the board. Thank
he's here right now.
He is here. Thank you very much for he's the plug.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt.
All right.
Shout out to my man Cookbook. Shout out to Pete, Matt, everybody. I even had a Chris Lehman sighting on the text chain.
Yeah, so, right.
Wow. Shout out to him.
Love it. Love it.
So, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, shout out to the text chain, man, too.
Yeah, of course. Always.
Yeah.
So,
and to anybody in the text chain, I don't mean to come off aggressively, okay? I just love hip hop, all right? So you see me in there bumping around. Don't take it. I know I'm from Chicago, but I'm a good guy. It doesn't.
He said I'm a good guy.
He ain't gonna drill you.
I ain't gonna drill you. Right. I ain't gonna drill you. You know, I can take a joke. Okay.
All right, y'all. So, again, we will see you when we see you. Thank you for tuning into the Hip Hop Digest. And, damn, we got E-Swerve, you know, drinking Mad Dog.
Mad Dog 2020 on that.
I tell you what, don't want to see you with no motherfucking Thunderbird next week, nigga.
No. See, so when I lived in Compton, Mad Dog 2020 was the drink on the street. So
okay.
I wasn't no joke out there, all right? Okay. So I had to represent.
And our guest, I don't know what he was drinking. A little sophisticated, though. Yeah. look pretty sophisticated.
He had a whole goddamn chalice.
That's right.
Like, some damn castle somewhere. Look at him.
Yeah, it's a D there. This is Heineken in a glass, not out the bottle.
Wow. Oh, it's Heineken. Yeah. Heineken
that's what
you're
going to tell us. You don't have no chalice like that with a D on it. And when I say D, I mean the letter D.
Right, the letter D.
Throw some D's on that bitch.
Pause.
But that's how you end the show right there.
Yeah, we're gonna get out, yo, because y'all niggas is absolutely outrageous.
Before the Mad Dog kicks all the way in,
no doubt.
Oh, and I did take a couple.
All right,
man. Much love. Thanks for the invite, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. No problem.
So, all right, everybody. Good night. We out of here.
Peace.
Yeah, brothers. I holla.
One.